I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is brought to you by the 10K Collective. The 10K Collective is a collection of men and women who are doing at least $25,000 a month on Amazon. In the UK, US, Europe, doesn't matter, but that is the figure as a minimum. Now, why that figure? Because it means you get to meet with like-minded people who are serious about Amazon, who are doing well, and who are ambitious to do better, rather than knocking around with newbies, which isn't going to help you if you want to scale up from six figures a month to seven figures, or whatever you're ambitious to do, four to five figures. We have people who are doing up to around the quarter of a million a month mark, and as I say, the lowest is 25K. So it's still quite a big spread, but we have amazing things that get shared. You will get 30 minutes each, minimum of 20, 25, even in a really busy month. And there's only 8 to 12 people at any given meeting. So what do we cover in the meetings? Well, we cover topics from how to stay in stock, make more money by not missing out and not being out of stock, dominating a market and the mindset needed, handling whole container loads, how to predict stock needed, for example, how to get a product on primetime British TV for free, as one of our members did back at Halloween last year. So these are not prescribed by me and it's not a set course. It is simply what comes up, what you need to handle right now to move your business forward. It's very simple, robust format. It's doing really well. We've got great loyalty from the members. I think out of 10 people that have joined it so far, about 8 are still with us after several months, which is a real testament to the fact that they're getting value and there's a great feel of community and we have a lot of fun. We take business seriously, but we also try not to take ourselves too seriously. We have a lot of fun. We're very open and we have a lot of serious debates that actually result in people doing stuff and taking action, like opening up in America, like going to Germany, like, you know, doubling their orders. I mean, serious action takes place as a result of these meetings. And it's also good fun. You'll need to be able to get to London as well as doing 25,000 a month minimum, roughly in dollars. And it's application only. So if you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/mastermind. Make sure you click through to the 10K Collective page rather than applying for the Zero to Hero Mastermind, which is just for those who are just starting out. Thanks very much for listening. Now, on with the show. Hello there, amazing FBAs. Welcome back to the show. This is Michael Veazey, your host. So today we're going to address an important, if not massively sexy topic, but one that people who've been working with me for a bit who have product live will normally come into questioning, which is an extremely basic question. How do I figure out how much profit I'm making? This is not something where I'm going to give you every single step blow by blow, because that is a bit complicated. But what I can do is say that this is more complicated than it sounds up front, because Amazon is a complicated business. So I'm going to give you some parts of the puzzle. If you want to check out an accountant's view, just go to amazingfba.com/250 when I interviewed my accountant Penny Lowe about this. And this is only advice for newcomers that she came up with, and more in terms of setting things up to start with, or early days. What I'm addressing here is the people who are in the early days of actually having revenue, and they're just kind of done the whole push for selling stuff. Now they've got some statistics and they're thinking, okay, I'm not actually sure what's going on in my business. I've pushed for sales. Now I need to measure what's going on. So this isn't going to give you the complete picture. Nothing that simple will, unfortunately. But I'm going to start off by really some big picture stuff. I would say you can separate accounting or bookkeeping into three different blocks for three different purposes for an e-commerce seller. And you have to do this. I believe that it's not as simple as one system that will do everything for you. Or rather, you can try and create that. But I tried to do that with my accountant when I first started off with my e-commerce business. It turns out it's more complicated than it looks, and it's more complicated than it needs to be. In other words, let me put it the other way around. You can make this simpler than a lot of us do, which is the good news. First of all, I want us to think in terms of systems thinking. I've recently reread a book by Sam Carpenter called Work the System. And I say reread almost because it's reminiscent of other things like Michael Gerber's The E-Myth and other books like Getting Things Done are sort of related. But it's really an obsession with standard operating procedures that Sam Carpenter has. It doesn't sound very sexy, but guess what? Once you've done a task a million times, you've burnt the midnight oil enough times with a spreadsheet, you start to think that actually what you need to be able to do is to outsource this stuff, or at least make it systematic so you don't mess it up next time you personally do it. So for that reason, it's a good book. And one of the things he says very simply, which I could not agree with more, is you need to set the objective first of what your system or process or a person you hire is trying to do. And all of those things, a systematic way of doing things, process tools, online tools, and a person probably in terms of the accountant, all of those things are going to be important for your accounting. So it's going to be therefore a complex endeavor, and your clarity of objectives is foremost. So set your objective first. Why do you need to measure this thing? What outcomes do you need from this? And then create the systems that fulfill that objective. I can't stress enough how important it is to operate and think in this way. Whenever we get people in the masterminds, and so far there's no limit to the size of the business where this question is needed, and it's always a fruitful question, because if you clarify exactly why you're doing something, you won't get caught up in just doing things for the sake of it, or doing things that aren't actually working, or doing things that aren't necessary, which is a bit of a tragic use of energy. So from an accountant's point of view, as I said, you can get that from Penny Lowe. This is an entrepreneur's primitive understanding of accounting. This is not sophisticated stuff, but three aims, as I said. So the first aim is tax accounting. It's not exactly an aim that we create as entrepreneurs, therefore not sexy, but it's absolutely imposed upon us by governments and any government type agencies. So we have to do it. So we're talking either personal tax accounting or corporate tax accounting. In either case, I think you should use an accountant for this, because the consequences of getting it wrong can be rather disproportionate to the money you save by not doing it. You're probably going to use tools like Xero or an A2X or QuickBooks. I don't know where Blue Books came from. Maybe I should create a brand for that. So A2X accounting links QuickBooks or Xero, QuickBooks more recently, with Amazon. And that's a really excellent way of doing it. So I've done that in the past myself. It worked very well. And nowadays I use QuickBooks. Why? Because it's my accountant and her bookkeeping team are familiar with it. So I would strongly suggest you don't assemble an architecture of a system and a person that don't match up. If your accountant is familiar with a certain accounting software, as long as they know what they're doing with e-commerce, then I would suggest you go with the system and setup that they use. But if in doubt, I think Xero plus A2X or QuickBooks plus A2X seems to be the thing that most people use that I know. Before you even, though, worry about the tools, before you even do that, particularly your first year or two of trading, and when I mean trading, I mean actually selling stuff. So I'm not talking about the first few months where you're just researching, buying samples from China, or even ordered your first products, but you've actually need to be trading, I think, at that point, actually selling stuff. So first year of trading, you may just use a spreadsheet. So you don't get obsessed with the tools. What you need to do first is clarify what information do the tax authorities really need from you. And that's going to vary by jurisdiction. In the UK, for example, corporation tax, actually, they need very, very few details from you. Indeed, it's very, very little information. The company's house return actually requires a little bit more. But just minimize that, and don't let your accountant use a system that is geared to a company doing 25 or 30 million pounds a year, which counts as a small business rather than micro business. If you've got a micro business that does 50,000 pounds in the first year, there's no need to apply a sledgehammer to a nut, and make that crystal clear to your accountant. Say, look, what is the minimum information we need to create a tax return for HMRC, the beloved tax office in the UK? And what is the minimum we need in the UK, for example, for company's house return? Whichever jurisdiction you're in, you should ask an accountant anyway, but always push for what is the minimum information. And then you don't need to collect 100,000 data points. You just need to collect data on those absolutely critical things. And then you can focus, instead of trying to do everything and getting totally overwhelmed, particularly if you're in the early days, often building an Amazon business on top of a day job, of course, and family life. So don't overwhelm yourself. Just focus on the critical things, but you need to know what those critical things are. And that means going to your accountant and asking them and getting crystal clear answers. And if they can't give you clear answers, my suggestion is work with somebody else. So typical things you're going to need are, bearing in mind, corporation tax is tax on profit, and profit is the difference in value. It's not cash flow. It's the difference in value of the equity of a business, if it's a company, technically, anyway, it works this way, the equity at the beginning and end of a period. So in order to know that, you just basically need to know your opening cash balance and opening stock, and then the closing cash balance and closing stock, as well as opening debtors and creditors. So your business owes money to, who it's owed money by. So Amazon might be a debtor, it might owe business money. Creditors might include trade credits. So you owe your suppliers 70% balance for some products or something. and then the situation with debtors and creditors at the end. So in other words, cash and stock at the beginning and the end, and creditors and debtors. In other words, creditors are people who owe your business money, debtors are people to whom you, your business owes money. And that's pretty much it. I mean, as far as I understand the basics of it. Now, I am not an accountant, but that is my understanding, that it's more or less boils down to that. So what that means is that a lot of us just don't keep that information, but that's only like 8 bits of information, but you better know those numbers, as opposed to being, you know, in a lot of sort of denial of the mess that our businesses are in terms of measurement. And I'm certainly been in that position in many times. I'm not the cleanest in terms of keeping books, and this is one of my many weaknesses, but I'm not alone in this. Many of us are in the same boat. So not saying that if you're running a serious big business that it's okay to have rubbish books, but if you're just starting out, realistically, you know, you might be in that position. So don't try and get everything right. Find out what's important, then go and get those things right, and then worry about the detail, is what I would say. Okay, so that's with tax accounting. Probably, although it sounds very scary, probably going to be one of the simplest bits of measuring and bookkeeping to start with, even if their sort of legal implications are complex and stuff. That's what a tax accountant's for. They can deal with that. What you need is simple information, simple questions, simple demands that you need to fulfill, like what figures do you need? So that's tax accounting. The next thing is management accounting. Now, the aim of management accounting is not externally imposed by the tax authorities or even by your accountant. It shouldn't be. It should be a wish you have as an entrepreneur to be able to make decisions. And that's it for me. If your accounting, that's management accounting, and it is not there to serve either an external party like HMRC, the tax authorities, or if it's not there to satisfy shareholders or debt holders like banks or whatever, maybe you need to jump through some hoops for those guys. But if it's for yourself, the only reason to have management accounts is to be able to make decisions, or better decisions. So that is the purpose of your accounts in this area. So again, don't be more complicated than you need to be. So I would separate it out into two areas, one of which is really nice and simple, which is the gross profit by SKU, or SKU being an Amazon-y way of looking at the word product lines. Okay, so I think for that you should just use a tool like Sellix, Fetcher, or Hello Profit. They're the ones that spring to mind. I'm probably an affiliate for some of these. We'll probably even put an affiliate link in, but I have no particular obsession with any of them. They all seem very similar to me, to be honest. I'm probably going to get some of these guys and interview them at some point, and it may be that the clear winner emerges. But broadly speaking, they plug into the Amazon Seller Central via an API, which is a kind of tech link, right? Don't need to worry about it if you're not familiar with it. And they will basically, you need to input your cost, your landed cost, so how much it costs you to get the product manufactured, shipped into whatever country it's coming into, any import duties, any storage costs, whatever, that needs to be accounted for before it hits Amazon. That's the total landed cost. And you need to know what that number is. And if you don't, you absolutely must find that out. Otherwise, there's no way anyone can help you to manage your business, right? You've got to know that number. And lots of people don't, right? Just find that out. And then plug that into, you know, let's say Hello Profit or Fetcher. And then when products sell there, it will account for the Amazon sales costs, the sales commission, fulfillment costs that Amazon charges you. And most of those programs will also offer the PPC, the Amazon ads associated with that product line, which, by the way, is a hint that when you're setting up your Amazon ads or setting everything up in your business, part of what you've got to bear up in mind, see it through the lens of being able to do clean, clear management accounting, which means that you should set up your Amazon ads either by campaign or by ad group, by separate SKUs and separate product lines. Otherwise, you're going to have very muddled together data, and that's going to make life quasi-impossible for you to manage this bit. Okay, so having assumed you've done that, your Hello Profit or Fetcher should show you the profit or loss indeed by SKU, which is very important. Now, that's not the whole picture. And the other part of things that people often overlook is just simply, I'm just making a note here because I've just handed into how to simplify this here for the show notes, which, by the way, will be at amazingfba.com/blog. And I don't honestly remember which number it's going to be at, so like 312 or something. But if in doubt, just look up accounting or bookkeeping in the categories and we'll have it categorized. Where were we? Yes, the overall profit and loss for the business is trickier because you're going to need to get the overheads sorted, right? Now, there's lots of ways of doing this with Xero or A2X or QuickBooks. You are probably going to need to work with your accountant to set up a chart of accounts if you're going to do this properly. Now, the improper way of doing it is to just say this: overheads that are off Amazon often get neglected as part of the cost structures. But the simple way to do it is if you get it all running through one bank account that is allocated to your business, you simply download the spreadsheet for that once a month and either print it off and go through it with a pen or just add it up on a spreadsheet and just see what that total comes to you. And you're going to have things like Helium 10, maybe Fetcher, maybe the cost of an Amazon coach, maybe the cost of an Amazon course, maybe the cost of an Amazon mastermind if you're smart, and you know, various other things that add up, your accountant's fees, fees for QuickBooks or whatever the programs. So that can add up quickly. I mean, for me, the bank account download is just robust and simple and easy. So if you're in the early days, that's what I'd do. I'd use a combination of Celex, Fetcher and HelloProfit and the overheads from your bank account and just try and use that as a basic guide, the Celex or gross, whatever it is that gives you the gross profit by SKU. And then the overheads come from your bank account that you download, right? And that gives you an overall approximate profit for your business as a whole, not just by SKU. And again, it's important to keep an eye on that, because if your SKUs are producing, you know, the gross profit of say 30%, but you're spending all of that money on overheads, guess what? Your business isn't profitable and you probably need to cut some overheads. So that's the second aim. So just to reiterate, the first aim was to get tax accounting. That's really pretty much imposed by the tax authorities, but make sure you understand what the tax authorities need and do not overkill this. If they need 8 bits of information or 4, they get those 4 bits. Make sure you know what they are, make sure you have them, but don't get 50 billion bits of information if you don't need them. Second aim, management accounting. And I think really that is about gross profit by SKU, and then that helps you to make decisions about which SKUs you get back in, and then the overheads, which tells you really, you know, whether your business can afford a certain level of overhead, and then the overall profit loss of your business. You will, by the method I've just described, get a rather approximate figure, but I think that's okay for management accounting. You know, you don't have to be foolishly consistent on this. If you're spending hours and hours filling in spreadsheets, I think that's a distraction from your primary business as a business owner, which is to grow a business and to make great decisions about positioning, develop products, develop marketing. That said, though, you cannot be totally out of control, so compromise may be necessary. The bigger your business is, obviously, the more important it is to do things properly. So once you start turning over several tens of thousands a month, I really do think you've got to hire a proper accountant, get Xero or QuickBooks set up, and set up a chart of accounts correctly with the accountant. So there's a couple of different options there, but what I would say is there's no point in setting up an overcomplex system if you don't understand it and can't use it. That's a waste of time. It's got to be usable by the entrepreneur. Otherwise, it's not going to be a management account. It's pointless. The third type of accounts, which are really linked to the management accounts, are the projected accounts. So this is not just what's happening recently. So tax accounting is historical, if you like. So accounts for your business, if it runs, say, January to December, and any business, obviously company accounts can run whatever year it is set up in, but let's say it's January to December in the UK, you probably won't have to give the accounts in for several months. So you may be 18 months behind with some of that. The management accounts are dealing with the last month or two, and you want them as up to date as possible, because they're like your dashboard for where your business is. Projected accounts are about the future. So the most important things are cash flow and stock. The first thing is to do with stock management. It's going to help make reordering decisions and ad spend decisions. Again, I point you to Celex, Fetcher, HelloProfit, whatever it is that you use to measure profit and loss directly SKU by SKU. I would consider also working with a coach if you're not very experienced in this, or a mastermind. And you need to read the market as well. So I would possibly include market research tools like Helium 10, probably is the most reputable, Jungle Scout, Viral Launch, whatever it is. And you need to do this one before the cash flow projection, because if you realize you're going to have a very heavy demand on stock in December and you're going to need to order a load of stock in August or September, then that you're going to need to have a load of cash in August. So therefore, you've got to work the stock needs out first, and then do a cash flow projection. So I was in the £1 million mastermind meeting the other day, and they were talking about some pretty advanced stock management, stock projected needs and cash flow need projection. Now, this is not something you need to go over the top about if you have a really small business, but you should start this practice as soon as you can, really. So do the cash flow projection after the stock projection. And again, if you can use an accountant and talk to experienced sellers as well, I mean, whether that be a coach or mastermind members, and if you're not that
bigger seller yet, then you're not likely to get to hang around with really serious sellers, but you might. It depends on the mastermind deal structure you're in, but you may have to pay somebody to just get some advice. I would also talk to an accountant. I would do both, really, because accountants have a certain way of seeing the world and other entrepreneurs have a certain way of seeing the world in the e-commerce. And I think you kind of need both lenses to look for, really. Spreadsheets are probably okay for this. People seem to use spreadsheets. The ideal is to project over 1 year. You might even just start off by projecting the next 3 months of cash flow and the next 6 months. I mean, normally when you first start off, you tend to have a time frame about the next 3 months because that's very approximately the sorts of amounts of stock that people tend to order. So I think you should project out 6 months minimum because you may find there's a big crunch a couple of orders ahead. 3 years is ideal. I mean, that's pretty ambitious. I would say that's only really valid for the really big businesses that have some stability that have been around for a while. So I'll mention it as an ideal. I'm not saying you have to do it. I think getting ahead by 1 year is still good going. The bigger your business, again, the more important it is to do this. So if you're doing over 100,000 a month, I really think it's time you did this. And the £1 million mastermind guys are really getting into this. Also, if you can add in a scenario, again, this is for advanced sellers, but I'll mention it. Add in a scenario for projected growth as well as then better than projected growth is important. So if you're going to sell more stock, you have more need for cash flow. So if you're going to sell more in December, in the big month for most of us, you're going to need more cash in August, September, or possibly earlier when you're placing your orders in China, assuming that's where you order from. But even if it's somewhere else, it's going to be a similar scenario. So it's important to try and cash flow out, as people put it, it's a strange verb, to cash flow or to project the cash flow needs of a pretty good month in December, or you know, whenever your big sales are going to be, and a really big one, and make sure that you scenario plan for that. And then if you need extra cash injection, you may need to go to your bank for a loan, but at least you've shown them that you projected your accounts. And trust me, when you go to a bank, lots of experience of this, but lots of the members of the mastermind have, the better prepared your figures are for where you are currently, the better prepared your projections are, realistic but reasonably optimistic is where I would pitch it normally, then the more likely they are to take you seriously in terms of your request. If you come with completely messy books and they feel like they're rescuing you from a disaster, or they would be, guess what? They won't rescue you. They say banks only lend money to people who don't need it. And there's a nasty truth in that. But guess what? You need to go to the bank before you need it. When you don't need it, but you think maybe you will need it, that is the time to go to the bank. When you've actually messed up and nearly run out of money, begging your bank account to extend an overextended overdraft, that's not a great time to do it. We've all been there a little bit, but the more you can look ahead, then the more you can avoid that. I'm just going to mention very quickly working with an accountant. Again, if you want to check out the interview with Penny Lowe, episode 250, amazingfba.com/250, I would say number one, they need to understand the small business. Talk to them frequently and make sure they understand e-commerce. They need to understand e-commerce. If they really have no e-commerce background, I think you probably need to find a new accountant. If they have something of a grasp of it and you know them already, they've been working with you for years, okay, maybe they're a good compromise, but make sure they understand the nature of the beast. And guess what? If you don't understand it and the accountant doesn't, you're kind of at a loss. You may just need to get a new accountant, I'm afraid. One thing that I think is critical for an accountant is the ability to explain to you in layman's terms what things mean. And communication is really the key. The first of all, as my coach Jason said, Jason Miles, guess what? Well, none of us spend enough time speaking to our accountant. Generally speaking, if in doubt, you should speak to your accountant, and more often, right? The accountant needs to be able to explain in layman's terms what things mean. But equally, you need to set them clear goals for measuring and what outcomes you need. And if you're not clear on outcomes, that's your job as an entrepreneur to clarify what do you want. That's your job. Then to ask them how to measure, how they as the accountant can be part of the picture contributing to what you want. For example, you want massive business growth. Great. They're not a bank, so they're not going to lend you money. They're not a manufacturer. They're not going to manufacture goods. They're not a marketer. They're not going to make you pretty adverts or beautiful. They're not a photographer. But what they can contribute is clarity about your current position, projection based on the current position and recent past, and projection about stock and projection of cash flow needs, and their advice on this based on their experience of either e-commerce in particular, which is ideal, or small business in general, which may be good enough. So don't abdicate your responsibilities as an entrepreneur to do two things. Number one, set objectives for your business. Know what you want, know what your business wants, if you like. And number two, ask for help from specialists in how to achieve that. So an accountant, you know, how to do that. And then it's up to them to actually be able to explain it in to you in layman's terms. And some people are very good with figures and spreadsheets, but they're not great with people. People who are good at both aren't so common, which is why I think you need to, you know, pick your accountant carefully. So that's it, really. I mean, what you do with the measurements, just a quick reminder of the STAR principle. You've got to evaluate everything through this lens, I think, really. The STAR principle is very simple, like market positioning of products. If you've looked at things at the strategic level, then the profit and loss feeds into that. So don't be driven by your profit and loss. Use it as a very, very important metric by which you drive, right? So driving a car is done by you making decisions and implementing them through the steering wheel, the choice of gear, the accelerator, the brake, whatever. Your visual awareness of the environment, your awareness of the speed via the speedometer and whatever other instruments you use, the temperature of the oil, whatever, are also important things to feed in. So overall, though, profit and loss is a very important thing. Most of us need to be more aware of it, but you don't need to be hyper-driven by it, right? So the overall thing I would say that's more important than anything else is the positioning of your business. If your business has cash cows, which are very dominant products in a low-growth market, but they make good, valuable contribution to your bottom line, you should use those to fund the STAR products, the STAR products being in high-growth markets, and they're the leader. So those are the things that are really going to grow your business. But equally, if you discover your products are dogs, that is to say they're a low growth market and they're followers, it's probably time to divest, i.e. they are not making much profit. That's one of the ways it shows up in your profit and loss. So don't forget that the ultimate job of your business, I think, is really to find and grow STAR products. And your accounting needs to help you with that, but I don't think you should get distracted by just the short-term numbers. If your products are profitable, but they're just barely profitable and they're borderline and they're hard work to sell, and you have other products that sell really well, don't latch on to every last bit of profit and obsess about that. Try and allocate resources to where they are going to be most fruitful, which kind of is the halfway house between accounting and broader financial question of investment, if you like. So I suppose that's why I bring it up. Forgive me, because I know I'm adding something else confusing into the mix here, but I just think you've got to put things in context. Whatever your profit and loss tells you, it's got to be part of a strategic approach, right? So we've tried to clarify the three types of accounting that I'm aware of, or bookkeeping, whichever you want to call it. Number one, tax accounting. That's fairly straightforward in a way. It's imposed on you from outside, so it may or may not be straightforward, but the amount of decisions you have to make as an account, as a business owner, aren't huge normally, relatively speaking. Second one, management accounting. That's much more your province as a business owner. And the third thing, projected accounts. Keep it as simple as you can. Set clear objectives. Get a great accountant who can also explain stuff. That's hypercritical. Communicate with them. That's really critical. Set objectives. That's critical. Clarity is power, as they say. But then lastly, do not forget to integrate your accounting into your overall business strategy. And I would say that there is no great accounting system that will save your business from lousy positioning. If you've got great positioning, i.e. your products are market leaders and it's a profitable market to be in and it's growing, then the other things in your business that can still get messed up, but that's a great potential starting point, then the other things in your business are there to serve that objective. So really, just wrap it all up in a bow by saying everything in your business needs to be driven by objectives, and the objectives of any department, like your bookkeeping or accounting department, need to be driven by the objectives of the business as a whole. And if you don't know where you're going, as the Red Queen said to Alice in Alice in Wonderland, kind of doesn't matter how you get there. The first order of business, I believe, is to decide where you're going, and only then should you worry about measuring how close you are to getting there. Hope that makes sense, and I hope that was some useful thoughts on this often confusing area. Thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay tuned, keep listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I'll speak to you in the next show. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success,
duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.